says, "Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.'" This evening, I want to look at the idea of being strong and courageous. As we noted here in Joshua chapter 1, I believe that few of God's servants have ever been given a more daunting responsibility than Joshua, going in and conquering the land that is set before him. And it's not surprising that as he was to begin the journey into the land of Canaan, to lead the Israelites in there to conquer that land, that God said to him in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 6, he said, "Be strong and courageous." And we can look again and see that in verse 7 it says, "Only be strong and very courageous." And then again in verse 9, once again, "Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." We have a work to do that is also very fraught with danger, difficulties, problems. And I believe that we need the attitude that God encouraged Joshua to have. And so I would like to take just a few moments this evening and encourage us, hopefully, to have the same attitude that Joshua was being commanded of by God, that we might be strong and courageous in the work that is before us. Now, we're not conquering a land physically. We're not going out and fighting physical battles, but we are conquering a land spiritually. We are to be about spiritual warfare. This is not the kind of spiritual warfare that some peoples in the Middle East are trying to have, this holy jihad. That's not what we're looking at. We're not going to try and force anyone to be a child of God by any physical means. But the task that is set before us is great nonetheless. You see, the challenges and the obstacles that we face are large and real. Think about it, what Jesus said, that there are many who need the gospel, but there are few workers. Look with me, if you would, in Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, beginning in verse 35. Here Jesus was going through all the cities and teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Seeing the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest." You know, it doesn't take watching much television or spend much time going around town, and you can see thousands. I imagine you can watch a Steelers game, and you can just imagine how many of that large amount of people there are actually concerned with the Lord and being faithful to him. And so you can see that indeed the harvest out there is great. The need for workers is great in the kingdom of God. And it's not just that there's a lot of people out there that need to hear the gospel, but Satan's opposition to our work is not imaginary. There's a great work going against everything that we do. We wonder sometimes if it's worth the effort that we put forth to have gospel meetings, to have special studies, to do these things, because they seem to bear no fruit. But we need to remember that the devil is a very worthy adversary. He's out there doing everything he can. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, there in verse 11, the Apostle Paul says, "So that no advantage will be taken of us by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes." He's out there doing everything he can to work against us. He's working against us with our young people, trying to induce them to following a false doctrine that is more entertaining than anything else. I was looking through some of my old emails, and I noticed that I'd gotten one when we lived in Maryland that was about some musical groups and the ministry that they were all about, and how much fun they were having, and all the they were saying, come out and we'll rock together. You know, it sounded like when I was younger and everybody's going to a Van Halen concert. It really, the attitude seemed no different. And really, that's the truth. They feel that they're following after God. And these were all very sincere individuals, but they were being led down the wrong path. Satan had deceived them. And that's why Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6 to put on the full armor of God, so that you'll be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. And so the adversary that we have is very great, it's very powerful, and it's very broad. And so we need to be strong and courageous, because the challenges set before us are very real and very difficult. These obstacles are out there. As Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. He's looking for the weak. Just think about watching your favorite Discovery Channel show, and they're looking at the areas of Africa and such like that. And what are the predatorial animals look for? The weak, the babes, the slow. And so that's what they're looking out for. And so we have a responsibility not only as we bring people in, but to work to keep them, because the devil is out there. He's working against us. And not only so, but God's faithful servants cannot serve indefinitely. There comes a time when every Joshua must replace a Moses. You see, here's where a big problem has occurred. There have been great leaders in local churches in the past, but no one was raised up to take their place. And churches that had elders for 20 and 30 years have spent 30 and 40 years without elders. And so qualified, godly elders, we need to understand they cannot lead forever. But oftentimes we don't begin looking for men to replace them until they are in their 80s or in their 90s, and we start thinking, oh, they're not going to live much longer. And then we start looking around and, oh, we've not prepared any of our young men to grow up and to be qualified to be elders. Sound gospel preachers cannot preach forever. Brother Truman Smith is a perfect example of that. Even if he does recover from this, he probably will never be able to preach again. And he's been preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ for, I believe, around 50 or 60 years, started preaching in Texas. And has worked very hard in the kingdom. And we need someone, or several someones, because he's been working very hard to replace him. And some of these early preachers, it takes two or three young guys to really replace the knowledge and the wisdom and the abilities that these older preachers had. Concerned godly Bible class teachers cannot teach forever. There needs to be someone who can come up and replace them. And so we need to have courage. Whatever the past history of a congregation might be, we need to ask ourselves, are we equipping ourselves to forget the things that are behind, the great preachers that we had, the great elders that we had, the great Bible class teachers that we had, and we're reaching forward to the things ahead? One of the things I've noted about local congregations of the body of Christ is that they oftentimes don't look to the future. I'm going to tell you why I see this. When something happens to the local church building, they patch it. They don't repair it in a way that it will last long term. They patch it in a way that it might get them through a year or two, and then a couple of years later, they're having to go in and fix it again. Or when they're adding on to a building or redesigning, they don't look into the future and see to where they can fit the needs of a growing congregation. And really, that physical side really lets you know how they are about the spiritual side. And you can look at their Bible classes, and they're not working with their young people, preparing them to be leaders in the church when they grow older, to be Bible class teachers, to be preachers. They're not doing any preparation for those things. But look at what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. He said, "Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Paul had a lot that could have held him back if he dwelt on it. And he could have looked back even in the latter years of his life and go, well, look at what all I've done. I've spread the gospel in all these major cities of the Roman Empire. I've traveled all the way from Jerusalem to Rome, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. I've led thousands upon thousands of individuals to the knowledge of Jesus Christ and have either had a part in baptizing them or they were baptized as a result of my labors. Time for me to sit down and be still. But that's not the attitude that he had. He said, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And many times churches will look behind and go, look at what great work we've done. Look at how large we have grown. And they'll sit back and they'll relax. You see, the future holds promise, but it is also accompanied by peril. Because success is not unconditionally guaranteed of us as children of God. Failure is a possibility. It's not enough to rest on the successes of the past. Look with me, if you would, in the book of Revelation. In Revelation chapter 2, beginning there in verse 2, we read the letter to the church there in Ephesus. Beginning in verse 2, Jesus has this to say. He says, I know your deeds and your toil and perseverance, and that you cannot tolerate evil men. And you put to the test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not. And you found them to be false, and you have perseverance and have endured for my name's sake, and have not grown weary. Sounds like a pretty good congregation, doesn't it? Sounds like they've been working really hard for the Lord. But he says there in verse 4, but I have this against you, that you have left your first love. They had grown weary, it seems, and had done great work, but they were no longer doing it with the same zeal that they did in the beginning. They no longer did it because of the love of God, but just because they've always been doing it. And that's why you'll find some congregations that perhaps started a lectureship series 10, 15 years prior. They were very zealous in their work, and they worked very hard at it. And then later generations come up, and they're like, well, are we going to have the lectureship series? Yeah, we've always had it. We need to continue to have it. And it's not because of the great work that they feel that they can do, but just because they've always done it. And a lot of congregations have gospel meetings, not because they have a great desire to spread the gospel, but just because that's tradition. We've always had it. And so we're always going to have it. We need to be careful and not rest upon the successes of the past. The Lord's kingdom, we need to understand, will ultimately stand even if we individually fail in our work. No matter what we do, we can't destroy the Lord's work. But if we are not doing what we can, dire consequences for us may follow. Look in Numbers chapter 14. In Numbers chapter 14, beginning in verse 20, the Lord said, I have pardoned them according to your word, but indeed as I live, all the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord. Surely all the men who have seen my glory and my signs, which I performed in Egypt and in the wilderness, yet have put me to the test these 10 times and have not listened to my voice, shall by no means see the land which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who spurned me see it. Now this is 40 years prior to what we read at the beginning of our lesson in Joshua chapter 1. Here Moses is leading the Israelites. He's led them out of Egypt. They've seen all the mighty miracles of God on the way across, the mighty works of God on Mount Sinai as he gave the law to Moses. They've seen the wrath of God, and they've come up to the land of Canaan, and they're preparing to enter in, and they sent in their 12 spies, and they spend their 40 days in the land. And the 12 spies come out, and 10 say, there's giants, great walled cities, there's no way in the world we can take it. And 2, Joshua and Caleb say, with the Lord we can. And the people decide to go along with the 10 spies. And as we look at that, that's why the Lord is saying, I have pardoned them. He was going to destroy them all and raise up a new nation from the seed of Moses. And Moses pled for them on their behalf that God might would spare them. And this is how he's going to spare them. He's not going to destroy them right now, but he's going to make them wander in the wilderness for 40 years. A year for every day that the spies were in the land of Canaan. He was going to make them wander until all of the men who have seen his glory and his signs, which he performed in Egypt and in the wilderness, until all of them fail in the wilderness. The Lord's going to complete his task with us or without us. The same is true as we can see there in the book of Esther. In Esther chapter 4, beginning in verse 13, Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, do not imagine that you in the king's palace can escape any more than all the Jews. Now let's remember that you've got Haman who's got this plot to destroy all of the Jews. Esther has been made queen there of the kingdom, and her uncle Mordecai, who had raised her, has approached her to approach the king on behalf of the Jews. And she has replied back to him saying, you don't go before the king unless he's invited you at pain of death, unless he extends his scepter. And so in verse 14, Mordecai says, for if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, and you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not attained royalty for such a time as this. Mordecai is telling Esther, if you choose not to do this, well, that's fine. But know that God will deliver his people. He will not deliver Esther and her household, but he will deliver the Jews from someone else. And once again, that phrase there, who knows whether you have not attained royalty for such a time as this. There are a lot of instances where we think, well, I'm just not the person for this. Who knows if we're not put in that position to talk to someone? And if we don't talk to them and they're truly seeking after God, God will send someone else, but we will be held accountable. And if we fail, and we may, we need to be careful. We need to be watchful. We need to make sure that we're not, as we studied throughout this past week, weary. As we're reading Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. Jesus said to the church in Ephesus there in Revelation 2 and there in verse 5, therefore remember from where you have fallen and repent and do the deeds you did at first, or else I'm coming to you and will remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent. We have a work that is set before us, and we might fail, but we will be judged if we fail through inactivity or through not doing what God would have us to do. You see, cautious introspection ought to be the order of the day. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall. But not only is failure a possibility, but victory here upon this earth is also a possibility. We know that if we remain faithful to God, victory will be had in heaven. But we have many blessings to be thankful for, many reasons for optimism in our work. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 9 that a wide door for effective service has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. There have been some rather recent baptisms here in this congregation, additions to the family over the past couple of years. There have been a lot of problems. But sometimes those things can open doors instead of close them. And so we need to make sure that we're taking advantage of every door that is before us and not allowing ourselves to become stagnant, looking and going, well, we just need to sit back and regroup and take it easy for a while. No, we don't need to do that. Or we've had some baptisms and so we can rest for a little while. No, we can't do that. You see, not only is survival a possibility, but complete triumph can be ours. Our faith in and love for God can dispel the fear. Remember there in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9 that the Lord said to him, do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. He didn't have to be afraid because God was with him. Look in 1 John chapter 6 and verse 33. We can have the understanding that if God is with us, we can overcome anything, because Jesus said, these things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world, you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4, John writes, he says, you are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Go over a chapter to chapter 5 and verse 4. We read, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. If we have true faith in God, true faith in Jesus Christ, belief in what he has said, and he said in Matthew chapter 28 verse 20, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. If we remain faithful to the Lord, he will be with us, and we can be victorious. You see, if we do the Lord's work in true faith and obedience, we need not doubt the outcome. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 21, his master said to him, well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, "Be, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord." Knowing that what we're doing is going to bear fruit one way or another if we remain strong and courageous. And as we can see in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 17, John writes, "By this love is perfected with us so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. He is victorious, and if we will remain with him, we too can be victorious." But the thing that I want to leave you with this evening is that not only must we be strong and courageous, but we must work and not lose heart. Look with me, if you would, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning in verse 16, the Apostle Paul says, "Therefore we do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. God is with us if we're faithful." We can be victorious, but we need to be sure that we're not looking at the physical. And a lot of times we get caught up in that. We look at only the physical, and we look around and we see a lesser number, and we think, well, we're failing. But you know, it's always been more important for us to grow spiritually than numerically. And if we grow spiritually as we should, we will grow numerically. We'll be having the effect that we should have. And I think sometimes congregations might would be doing better to kind of draw in and rebuild themselves spiritually, not neglecting their responsibilities in evangelism, but putting more efforts into the edification of the saints, knowing that we are serving the Lord. God is for us. And if he is for us, as the Apostle Paul says, who is against us? Who can stand against us? There's nothing in the world that can stand against God. Satan has been trying. Satan has tried to have others stand against God, and they have all fallen by the wayside. We have God on our side, and we also have Jesus as our great example. In Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse 1, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance that and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Folks, we must work and not lose heart. We must not only be strong, but finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. We don't need to be depending upon our own physical strength, our own physical abilities, but turn to the Lord in prayer, seeking for greater strength, spiritual strength. And it is no less important for us than for Joshua to meditate on God's word and to observe it faithfully. Look again in Joshua chapter 1. Beginning in verse 7, the Lord said, "Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success." The only way we will have success is if we remain faithful to the will of God. If we do not part from it from the left or to the right, if we follow the commands that God gave to Joshua, we will be successful. Whatever the dangers we face in the work of the Lord, we will have the power, because God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. God is with us. God's strength is there for us in the work that is there before us, and we need to make sure that we are following through in that work, that we don't become lazy, that we don't become unprofitable, that we don't become discouraged. But let me tell you something. If you're not faithfully serving the Lord, then you're all alone. If you're not faithfully serving the Lord and doing what is asked of you, doing what is commanded of you, then you are on your own. And I don't care how strong you are, how courageous you are, you will not be victorious. But if you remain with the Lord, victory is guaranteed. If not on this earth, it will be throughout all eternity. And so if you need to come forward and confess your belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, repent of your sins and be buried in baptism, striving to serve the Lord, He will be with you if you obey His gospel. If you've obeyed the gospel, but you've turned away from the Lord, you've not remained faithful, you've not remained strong, you've departed from His words, you can return to that faithful service to the Lord by confessing your sins, repenting of them, and we'll go to God in prayer with you and for you, that He might return you to a more proper state with Him. Whatever the need might be, if you would come forward now as we stand and as we sing.